what does it mean to be a game changer? I think of the Springbok Bomb Squad and the potential effect that they can have when they come onto the rugby field. But how does this relate to marriage and family? Well, today we're going to hear from two very good friends of Focus on the Family Africa, Dr. Gary and Barb Rosberg. We've had them come out to South Africa over many years, and they've spoken to thousands of couples at marriage seminars, sharing their wisdom and experience as marriage coaches. Today, we're going to hear two 10-minute segments that are actually part of their Coaching Up collection. The first segment is called Be a Game Changer. So stay tuned to this edition of Focus on the Family as we hear from Dr. Gary and Barb Rosberg.
Oh, today on the program, we are going to be coaching you up because we're going to unpack a term that we all want to experience. In fact, Gary, as I have read a lot of coaching books, I love to read them because I think that oftentimes the good coaching a player gets on the court or on the field can be applied to our relationships and marriage. And this tool, this topic, this name that keeps coming across so many different books is that of a game changer. Let's talk about what a game changer is today on the program.
Well, Barb, there can be a game changer when a team makes a slam dunk in basketball. There can be a game changer when a gymnast lands perfectly coming off the beam and gets a solid 10 in the Olympics. There can be a game changer when there's a recovered fumble and 100,000 people in the stadium go crazy and the momentum changes the entire game. In industry, there's a game changer when Apple products release the new iPhone or new iPad, and all of a sudden, boom, there's a tipping point in the area of technology. And sometimes there are game changers in our family, and our family encounters some type of a catalyst, some type of a crisis, sometimes a opportunity, and it goes from 0 to 10 overnight. And you know what? It changes the dynamics of a relationship. And today we're going to talk about how to be a game changer, how to be alert to game-changing opportunities, because you know what? They change our lives. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they come along when we least expect them. Sometimes we work hard and they're the outcome of something that we've done. But a game changer equips us to step in to an opportunity that we either steward well or, you know what, we miss the window of opportunity.
It seems too, Gary, that in order to be a game changer, your, say, team or your family needs to be going through really, really low times. I mean, you feel like you're losing the game of life. You feel like everything is stressed out and tumbling on you. You feel out of control. I mean, what's going on here? And yet, when you're open to the opportunity, perhaps you in your family can be the game changer to turn things around because you take advantage of something that's happened, maybe a door that's been opened. Can you think of a time when we've experienced that game changing?
Well, Barb, I remember in the 70s, I began doing a little bit of writing and kind of reaching out for my counseling. And then we got into the decade of the 80s. And I was crafting out a process that we call closing the loop, a way of resolving conflict, sketching it out on whiteboards and in counseling sessions and in coaching other people. An author was in our home, was dealing with an issue of an offense and hurt and anger and just being frosted with another person and said, how do you resolve conflict? You know, Rosberg, I mean, you're a counselor and I'm headed to a book convention, by the way, stopping by to see you for a day. And we began to talk, and I began to sketch this, and he said, that's a book. Get a ticket. You're going to the book convention with me tomorrow. I mean, you talk about 0 to 100. Next day, I'm in Denver. We're at a book convention. I'm talking to Focus on the Family, and the acquisitions editor looks at this and begins to unpack it and says, I'm going to champion this book at Focus on the Family. I'd never written a published article. And I remember my jaw dropped and said, I don't know how to write a book. And she said, well, we're going to help you. And within a year, year and a half, 2 years, that book was published and now is in several languages and in its 10th or 12th printing, I think, and hundreds of thousands of copies of that have been distributed worldwide. That was a game changer for Gary and Barb Rosberg. And it was somebody who saw an opportunity, who was in the midst of a need, and that was my friend, who's an author, who introduced me and really leveraged relationship to introduce me to a publisher who said, you know what, I believe that what you've got can make a difference for other people, so much so that I'm going to champion it. And you know what, Barb, people believed in something that I had uncovered, and it allowed us to write our first book. And I've told Jim Dobson this. If he had not published our first book, we wouldn't have had 10, 11, 12, whatever we have written. Because you know what? It was a game changer for our life.
You know, a game changer needs to be ready, needs to be in position, needs to have an attitude that at any point, if that, say, ball on the court or on the field is being passed off to him, he can do something about it, and he can be a part of becoming part of the winning aspect of the entire team.
And sometimes, Barb, and oftentimes, I think it happens at the most inopportune times. That's why we need to have our radar up. That's why we need to be connected to our mate. That's why we need to be on our knees praying. That's why we need to be in the Word of God. That's why we need to be communicating with people that love us and care about us. Because when our heart is open, our spirit is willing, and we are anticipating either crisis situations or, you know what, the outcomes of a great investment of work and productivity, sometimes it comes in that window. But we need to be alert, and if you will, I mean, stay diligent in what we're doing in building whatever it is that God has laid before us to steward, but also to keep our antenna up to anticipate how to connect to something that's being afforded to us that we can steward well.
Well, you've said a few words, and I'd really like to bring it back and make it very practical for all of us. You've said the word alert, you've said the word antenna, and I am thinking and I'm breathing in and out this whole concept of attitude. You've got to have an attitude that no matter what ashes you're going through, that truly there can be an opportunity to you to rise up to become the hero of becoming a game changer in your family. Oftentimes the seasons that we go through will not last for a lifetime. Whatever you're going through right now, no matter how difficult and raw and how low you are, it is for a season. And we love to encourage people, there's a beginning, a middle, and an end to every season, either good or bad or happy or sad or you name it. If you're old enough, you can look back and see that life is a boxcarring of seasons upon seasons. But Gary, as a game changer, let's talk about being alert, having your antenna up. Know that if you have at any at all opportunity, you've got to take it so that you can be a game changer for your family.
And you know, Barb, sometimes I see it, you know, or sometimes you see it as a husband or a wife. Other times it's because we have built relationships with people that we're accountable to, people that we're in connection to, people that we care about. So that's friendships. For us, it's a board of directors. It's people that speak into us as advisors. You know, a punchline is, are you teachable and are you connected so that if you're not alert to what God is wanting to do, to be using you as a game changer, you know what, other people see it and they speak it into you and they give you encouragement and they say, let me reflect something that I'm seeing. And it's a great opportunity for you to steward something to be a game changer.
You just said another word I've got to follow up on, teachable. When we are teachable, it has to begin with us, and we need to take the responsibility to realize that we can't stay hardened, we can't stay with same old, but we've got to adapt, and also look for those opportunities to be alert. Gary, teachable, unpack that just a little bit more for us.
Well, Barb, either we're open and receptive to other people's insight into what we're doing or opportunities that are before us or crisis we're in the midst of, or we're unteachable. We isolate, we shut down, we're defensive, we're critical, we're independent, and we're saying, you know what, we're not going to step into relationship. We're all going to go through opportunities. And, you know, we just got done traveling to Asia and speaking in Malaysia and Singapore for a couple of weeks, and the Chinese symbol for crisis represents two English words, danger and opportunity. And so when we are anticipating a crisis, you know what? Yes, there's danger, and there's something that's going to get your adrenaline going, but the other word is opportunity. And that is a remarkable insight in our Asian community that sometimes we don't see. at least where you and I live, we've got to realize that these are opportunities for us. And even though they're sticky wickets at times, you know what? Be teachable. Be in relationship. Have an open heart. Trust other people. And certainly beseech a holy God to reveal to you what he might be calling you to do, to be a game changer. Because ultimately, your life is about bringing glory to him.
And last of all, stay in position. Keep working hard. Keep fighting fiercely. Be alert, as Gary said. Be teachable, as Gary said. But stay in position and do what you do well. We're here to coach you up. We're Dr. Gary and Barb Rosberg.
Have you identified your opportunity to be a game changer? Are you in position? Those are some good questions to ask yourself. The Rosbergs have written a number of books on marriage, but I want to highlight the book Gary spoke about in this first segment. It's called Healing the Hurt in Your Marriage. Do you avoid conflict resolution because you don't know how to deal with it effectively? Well, Healing the Hurt in Your Marriage provides you with an excellent examination of conflict and a practical step-by-step process for resolving it in a healthy manner. And I think this book could be a game changer in your marriage if you're struggling in the area of offense and conflict. Now, here comes the second segment of the Coaching Up Collection with Dr. Gary and Barb Rosberg. And this one is called, Is Your Hill Worth Dying On?
We're Dr. Gary and Barb Rosberg, and I've got a question for you. Is this hill worth dying on? Because every one of us have to make those choices all day long.
Here's an article written by Joanne Kraft, and Gary, it's called What Hill Am I Dying On? When I read this for the first time, I thought, okay, somebody set me up. It's all about me. Somebody put this in my hands. They're trying to tell me something. But could I ever relate? And so it's a little long, but I'm going to take this opportunity to read it because you won't want to miss out on any of the details. I can relate because her first sentence says, I was raised by a U.S. Marine. So was I.
You sure were, Barb.
I'm back into the
reading.
And
he still is a U.S. Marine.
He certainly is. Once a Marine, always a Marine. She goes on to say in her writing, I'm the oldest of four children and find leadership roles enjoyable. I'm the person you'd lean on if you needed a shoulder to cry on. I'm the friend you'd call if you wanted someone on your side. And I'm the mother of four who demands respect and tolerates nothing less. As you can imagine, when I was a newly married woman, I was a real peach. I challenged my husband regularly.
Now, this is where the correlation stops, right?
Of course. I was the daughter of a hard-charging Marine after all. There wasn't a hill I wouldn't die on. I believed I was right on everything, so everything was up for a fight at all costs. Why are you paying the bills that way? Why am I putting gas in the car again? Are you seriously wearing that shirt? We should leave for your parents' house earlier than that. Why did you tell him no? I just said yes. I challenged his answers on almost everything above. On and on it went until one fateful evening. After making some new friends, the four of us decided to go out for dinner together. My new friend challenged her husband on just about everything. No matter how inconsequential, whenever her husband spoke, she interrupted him. Sweetheart, you're wrong. That's not what she said. Why are you having lasagna? You told me you were in the mood for steak. The kids were 5 and 3, not 6 and 4. This poor man was being nitpicked to death, and his wife was choosing ludicrous hills to die on. I left the restaurant that evening trying hard to convince myself that my hills were different and much more important, except I couldn't shake the feeling I was looking into a full-length mirror. Several days later, as I was reading my Bible, I happened upon a story in Genesis where God handed out consequences to Adam and Eve's sin. He said to the woman, I will sharpen the pain of your pregnancy, and in pain you will give birth. And you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you. This is Genesis 3:16, by the way. The desire to nitpick, nag, and control began way back in the Garden of Eden. I realized my desire to win each battle and fight on every hill was something I had to deal with spiritually. So the real fight was on. I wasn't going to let my human nature win out. I began to take to God my irritations, my need to always be right, and my desire to rule. Each day I prayed to the Lord to open my eyes to what really mattered. I asked him to show me what issue was important enough to challenge my husband over. I decided that no longer would I debate him anywhere except in the privacy of our bedroom, far from prying little eyes and ears. I didn't want my daughters to learn bad habits from me. The first days were difficult. I caught myself many times wanting to tell my husband how to do things better. I bit my tongue when he cut the kids' food at dinner. "I know the best way to do that," I caught myself thinking. I kept my lips shut when I wanted to tell him what he should say in an email to a friend. "I'm much better with people than he is." I quietly sat beside him and smiled when he shared a story and didn't get the names right. His memory isn't the best with names. It wasn't long before my eyes were soon opened. I didn't know the best way to do things. I wasn't better with people than he was, and my memory wasn't always the best. The change in our home was miraculous. My husband seemed to have a smile on his face more often. Why wouldn't he? He offered his ideas and thoughts without the constant interruptions and challenges of a wife who thought she knew it all. Joy seeped back into our home. I had new eyes to see things in a whole new way. Today, I refuse to die on any more insignificant battlefields, though I admittedly still take a hit for the team every now and then. This daughter of a U.S. Marine is learning to stand down and let her husband take his rightful place in our home. Gary, I just thought that was an amazing article.
You know, Barbara, I'm not sure whether to look at you or not after that one, because that is spot on for many, many families. And you know what, honey, for you to read that as the daughter of a Marine and to really be able to correlate, not so much with your history with me on this deal, but this is a major deal for families.
I think it's a major deal for every single woman.
Yeah.
I mean, let's get real. We're all on the same page. We all stand on the same hill, especially because we are gifted by God truly with so many talents and so many abilities to administrate calendars and lives and have an understanding and a radar with our husbands, our children, our friends. We're dealing with a large amount of gift set. But when we can turn it south, Gary, talk about how that feels when a man is with a critical, nagging, nitpicking wife, girlfriend, sister, just the female, and what it does to a man, because we really need to hear it from a man's perspective.
Well, we know the definition of nagging is being nibbled to death by a duck. And
quack, quack.
Yeah, and men nag as well as women. But you know what, honey, we were just speaking to a bunch of military families recently, and we talked about this very issue. And we were talking about how when a woman is speaking into her husband's chest, she needs to do that with a deep amount of respect, because if she emasculates him and criticizes him, you can take whether it's a soldier in our military or just any other guy, myself included, and that guy can go back to third grade in a nanosecond by the, if you will, the harsh statement or the rolling of an eye or the tisking of a tongue or, you know, any of those things that many times a guy see a critical parent. And that's what psychologists call it. It's a critical parent. And so we go back and we experience that, and that's very, very dishonoring for a husband. Yeah, honey, I remember the story of the woman who had been married over 50 years, and she was talking to a young bride. And the young bride's mother said, "Do you have any wisdom for this woman getting married?" She said, "Absolutely." She said, "I concluded, you know, over 50 years ago when I married Henry, that I was going to make a list of 10 things that I couldn't stand and that he could not pull off. And if he did any of those 10 things, he was in the doghouse." And she said, "Well, how has it worked over the years?" She said, "Great." She said, "I never wrote them down. So whenever he would do something he knew was wrong, he'd look at me like, 'Is that on the list?' And she'd go, 'You're just lucky that one's not on the list.'" But and she had that guy for 50 years,
yeah,
you know, on the rope, so to speak. You know, Barb, here's the deal. Men and women, children, boys and girls, all of us, when we are coached up and we are blessed and spoken into with encouragement, we change. And there are times when, you know what, we just need to bite the tongue, like this gal said.
Well, have you ever sat under the teaching of someone that knows so much, and yet when you're really watching them, say, on the field, and they're living it out, you know their strength, you know their capacity, but they're stepping aside to let someone else come along and feel the excitement of leading or teaching or playing it out in such a way where the stronger one pulls back and becomes meek. Now, that's meekness, is strength under control. And when any one of us, men and women alike, can put the strength of our tongue, the strength of our thoughts, the strength of our gifts under a self-control, that's when everybody around us gets blessed.
Yeah, and when we do that, Barb, you know what? We are not only honoring Christ, but we're honoring the other person. And, you know, Paul said to the Thessalonians, he said, "Therefore, encourage one another just as in fact you are doing." And, you know, Barb, I've told people over the years, you know what? None of us draw into faith. None of us lean into faith through condemnation or criticism. None of us strengthen relationships with a critical spirit. What we do is we draw to unconditional love, to compassion, and to one word that I think trumps every other one, and that is grace. And so it's not to say that sometimes a wife or a husband doesn't have a bone to pick with their husband, but just don't write it on the list. Hold it back so that you can maybe exercise it with a lot of grace and encouragement when you do need to make a mid-course correction.
Well, that was some excellent encouragement and coaching, particularly for wives. It's so easy to fall into negative patterns. And I really appreciated the story that Barb read and how that woman realized that her desire to win each battle and fight on every hill was something she had to deal with spiritually. And how each day she would pray that God would open her eyes to what really mattered. We do have such power as wives and husbands to speak encouragement and to offer grace. And I think when we do that, we not only honor the Lord, but we'll see the fruit of that in our homes. I want to remind you of the book we have available by Dr. Gary and Barb Rosberg, Healing the Hurt in Your Marriage. I also want to remind you that we're here for you. If you need help in your marriage, we have counselors available here, and they can talk with you about some of the struggles you might be facing that are unique to you. You can get the resource or connect with our counseling team when you call 031-716-3300 or when you log on to safamily.co.za. Thanks for joining us today. For Focus on the Family Africa, I'm Alison Schnell, inviting you back next time when we'll once again help you and your family thrive in Christ.